It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Another loss, another Sunday, another game where the Jaguars have more and more questions about their ability to get on the field and actually perform at just the professional level and do the things that they need to get done in order to win. We'd like to thank you for making Locked On Jaguars your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. A familiar topic, and that's about how to get over the fact that the Jaguars have lost another game, 37-19, lost to the Tennessee Titans in a game where the Jaguars had their opportunities but ended up squandering them. And I know you've seen and heard all the highlights. I'm not going to give you a blow-by-blow, play-by-play on what happened yesterday. I'm just going to tell you how we're going to approach it today. We're going to just take a nice little assessment. Five games in is a good enough time for us to go, okay, so how good are they? What did they really do? What did they really accomplish this offseason? You know, you want to give them a chance to get in and get their stuff implemented and come out and be able to perform on the field and improve. Five games, I think, is not necessarily a big enough sample size to make overall decisions, but you can start developing some opinions about what you feel about this current regime and this current administration. And just ask yourself, what is different, what is better, and where does it seem like this organization is trending? And where does it seem like they're heading under Urban Meyer? So I'm going to talk about that in segment two and three. What I'm going to mention is, here's what they do well, and here's who they do it well with, and here's what they can't do, and here's what they don't do it well with. First, I'm going to talk about this. If you'd have told me to list the 10 things that the Jaguars would not do well this year under Urban Meyer, or when he got the job, I'm sure if you dig back into the podcast when he got hired, one of the things that I thought that they would really, really, really be good at is attention to detail, organization. I used to make light of the fact that Doug Marrone always used to say he's going to try some crazy-ish. He was going to try to come out and throw something at the wall and see what sticks. And I said, that's the type of stuff that needs to go out of the window. They need to have a plan. They need to understand who they are, and they need to come out of that tunnel ready to go and be prepared. That's what I thought they were getting in a Mount Rushmore coach from the NCAA, who was known for just that. His teams always played with that detail, and it never seemed like they were unprepared. Well, to me, when you look at the Jaguars outside of their roster, the one thing that I can tell you is that appears to be at the very top of the list for me as far as things that they don't do well and things that they do horribly. And like I said, we're going to get into that later. But the thing that surprises me is they are just the opposite of what I thought they'd be in the detail-oriented and the preparation mode. They get out-coached. It's almost as if the press conference is an awakening for Urban Meyer to tell us, I never saw that. We never worked on that. We got to correct that. I don't know. I just asked Daryl about that 2 minutes ago. And so the way football works in the NFL is this. We always talk about a coach having his finger on the pulse of the team, right? And those are not just things that we say because they sound good. We say them because it's true. It's good that he's transparent. And I don't even know if it's transparency as much as it is plausible deniability to sort of pass the buck on to someone else and say, look, I'm not being a micromanager here. I'm actually delegating authority, and those guys that I'm delegating to are screwing up. So we have to get on the same page. What is the whole week for? What do you do? What have we heard coaches talk so much about doing and about being in the building? Why did we hear about guys like Joe Gibbs having mattresses in their office and sleeping in the office? What were they doing? Were they playing video games? Were they going over last week's stuff, or were they getting things prepared for this week? Or were they preparing themselves with those details that I mentioned? Those situational football things that come up that allow you that in a second to be able to make a positive decision for your football team. And you guys go out and do the things that you need to do to win. I'm going to tell you where I'm going here. One, everyone talks about the play calling on the goal line, say it wouldn't have worked. I don't care if you had Jim Brown back there. When Carlos Hyde got stuffed, it wouldn't have worked. It's not the problem. I don't care if it works or not. You can call it a bad call all you want to, but you need to give the ball to your best player on offense yesterday, which was James Robinson. If you give a bad play call has a better chance to work if you have a better player running the ball, okay? Two, on that entire scenario when the Jaguars had gotten down and it was first and goal on the 5-yard line, James Robinson didn't touch the ball one time. The kid averaged 8 yards a carry yesterday. He didn't touch the ball one time in four plays, not just on the fourth down play. He didn't touch it one time on four plays, okay? And then when asked about it at the end of, you know, after the game in the presser, Urban Meyer says, yeah, we got to figure that out, why he didn't have the ball. Maybe he was dinged up. He wasn't hurt. You don't know? Where were you in the plays, the plays leading up to that? What were you doing? Getting Gatorade? Where were you? Weren't you standing on the sideline with a red handkerchief in you? Don't you have on a headset? Do you or do you not know what is going on during the game when your players are playing? I know y'all know where I'm going with this. This is not what anybody signed up for, and I'm sure it's not what Shad has signed up for. Is the juice worth the squeeze? Is all of this attention and all of this money and all of these extra coaches and all of this stuff that you're asking for, are you getting back? Are you getting what you should be getting? We talked about this ad nauseum. Who takes a break? He said out of his own mouth that he was in Ohio because he needed to get away from it. You don't get away from anything after 4 weeks, Urban. Get away from what? The thing is the thing, man. There ain't no getting away from this. You think Deontay Wilder after 5 rounds the other day, let me get away from it for a minute. We'll finish this Monday. It doesn't happen that way. You have 16 games. If an NBA champion gets into the playoffs, if he wins every single game on the way to the championship, he has 16 games to win. 4 games in 4 different series. And he could go 16-0. And pardon me, you have 17 games in the league. These are all playoff games. Can you imagine someone in the NBA finals going 4 games in? I need to get a break from it. A break from what? Your job? Or is it too hard for you? If it's too hard for you, I'm sure that they'll find someone who wants to coach Trevor Lawrence who's willing to live in TIAA Bank Field until they get it right. You might as well take a vacation. If you're going to stand on the sideline and don't know what the hell is going on with your team, you ain't there anyway. Let's talk about what he's working with, man. Let's get to these players. Let's get into personnel. And we're not going to do it the way you think we're going to do it. We're not going to sit here and talk about Caldwell and Gene Smith and Shaq Harris like so many people want to talk. We're going to talk about what he inherited versus what he's done. And if you can look at what he's done and find out from what he's done, does he have enough, even if he gets his act together and he gets in line with the coaches, do they have enough to do what it is that everybody, and I'm so sick of everybody talking about they're improving. Everybody, yeah, they're getting better because the season's moving on. Everybody's getting better. Everybody around the league's getting better. That's what this is. I'm going to talk about the roster. I'm going to talk about what this team really is because there's so much talk about, well, they're 0-5, but they're actually improving. No, you are what your record. He said something like that last night and almost fell out of my chair. I was sitting on a stool, and I promise you, if that stool didn't have a back, I would have been in a hospital today because it's like the record is who you are, man. One of the greatest coaches ever, Bill Parcells, said your record is what you are and who you are. I'm going to discuss it on a Monday edition here on your first listen, which is Locked On Jaguars. I'm going to tell you about DirecTV Stream, man. You need to get your TV together. Absolutely. DirecTV Stream does things that you can't get anywhere else, but all y'all need it because I know for a fact when I talk to most of my friends and most of my listeners that they got devices all over the place. They look at this, they look at this. Hold on, I got to plug this in. I went to a guy's house. Man, he had to plug all kinds of stuff in just for me to watch a game. Doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. You can get your entertainment and all your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to ever buy another device or call someone while they're at work and they call you back on lunch break just to tell you what the password is because you logged out accidentally. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices are required and content varies by package. And listen to this. There is no contract. So you'll love it. So call DirecTV. Get in touch with DirecTV.com and ask them about DirecTV Stream so you can get your TV together. The Jaguars need to get themselves together. 0-5, 0-5, 20 straight losses. And just a sad state of affairs, man. And it's not just because of the record. So I'm going to tell you right now, the record is one thing and you are who you are is another thing. But there are fans that are just looking for certain stuff, right? So some of the things that this team was looking for was a sense of professionalism, program building, young team growing together, coming together every week, being more efficient and proficient at their jobs. There were things and signs that everyone was looking forward to seeing because everyone wants to anticipate this growth from this franchise. You got people now looking back at Wayne Weaver saying that Wayne Weaver was the owner of all owners, man, compared to Shad Khan because, and I'm going to give Shad a little bit of a break here. I actually thought he did everything right this offseason. And the one thing that I probably would have done was get another GM. You know, probably. Balky wouldn't be in the building if it was up to me. But this thing with Urban has really, really shaking me because when I compared it to Jimmy Johnson, and I'm not talking about the Dallas Cowboys and them going from 1-15, obviously, to winning 3 Super Bowls, I compared it to Jimmy because I always put Urban as a Jimmy type coach, meaning not really X's and O's. And Jimmy used to admit that there were 6 coaches on the staff that would coach circles around him in terms of X's and O's. Not all of that other stuff, but it was the ability to evaluate talent, the ability to know how to team build, how to put guys in position to win, how to motivate and extract the best out of players, and how to coach his coaches, how to coach said coaches, right? Because as good as those coaches were, never as good away from Jimmy as they were with him. And I'm talking about Noah Turner, Butch Davis, Dave Wanstead. There were other people. It escapes me now. But, of course, Jimmy had, I believe, Tommy Tuberville at one point at Miami, Greg Schiano. So he's always had these coaches under him that were real, real good coaches. The defensive backs coach was a good friend of mine. I can't think of his name right now because I'm drawing a blank. But you get the point. The point is that he was always able to coach coaches. And you never heard publicly that there was this disagreement. It seems like everything that goes wrong is always somebody else's fault with Urban. And that's what I don't like. You always have to ask somebody else. I like the one voice. No, you ask me. Yeah, he made the decision, but I backed it. I was fully aware that that's what we were going to do. I ain't got no problem with it. All of the decisions ultimately fall on me. That's what you like to hear. I think that's what players like to hear. Guys don't like to hear you making excuses and throwing other people under the bus. And then from what I heard, he micromanages everybody over there anyway. He actually does exactly what he says he didn't do. So Trevor Lawrence comes out and says he ain't got no problem with the quarterback sneak. About 30 minutes after Urban said Trevor does have a problem with it. So now you're starting to get to the point where there's these contradictions. Surprise, surprise, contradictions with things that he says and things that everyone else says or everyone else feels. And pretty soon it's going to hit ahead. I can see it coming right now. I can tell trouble coming a mile away. I can just feel it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen because somebody's trying to be nasty, but at some point somebody's going to say, Urban's going to say something and somebody's going to say something else. Worse than what you've already seen. And you'll see the Bucks. I want one of those assistants to stand up and say, that's a lie. He told me to do this, because now we'll get to the bottom of it. I'm starting to get to the bottom of it, and I don't think that the way that they're building the program right now is good enough. So let's talk about the roster. We knew what they were getting when they came in here, right? Most salary cap space ever, they were getting Trevor Lawrence. What do they have defensively? When Urban talked about making his defensive line one of the top eight, meaning he says top 25%, that was his thing, and he wanted to rebuild the secondary. When you look at them right now, they don't pressure the quarterback and they can't cover anybody. Is that Joe Cullen? Is that because of the guy that Urban chose as the defensive coordinator? Is it because of youth? What is it? I think he just made some missteps. I think you have to ask yourself this too, in retrospect. We can now sense and feel that there are a lot of coaches and a lot of personnel people that maybe didn't like or admire or respect Urban Meyer the way we all did because of his ability to coach in college. Are these the only guys that would even come here and coach with him because of his reputation? That's what you have to ask. Could they actually have gotten better? Urban, back in the day when he was doing a coaching search, says, I'm getting phone calls from all over the place with guys that want to come here and coach. If that's the case, and then you choose guys, and I'm not saying the coordinators are bad. I'm saying they're people that he chose that he seems to be on the wrong page with. And if that's the case, then you chose a bunch of people, bro, that ain't on the right page with you and not doing what you want to do, going from playing fast, playing slow to these questionable play calls. So what do you have defensively? What are you giving Joe Cullen? I think for them to really, really be a great, great team, I think you could probably get away with Shaq Griffin as a number two corner. I think Rashawn Jenkins is a good, good safety. I really do like him. I like number two. Number two can really play. I'm not sure about Miles Jack anymore, and I'm not as sure about Josh Allen anymore, but I really, really do love Devon Hamilton as well. I think when you look at them defensively, if you were going to stop right now and say, okay, you say we're 0-5, but we're not really 0-5. We're better than that. We're improving. Okay, so your record says you're 0-5. Let me do a real hardcore microscopic evaluation of who you are. I think you got two really good players, and you got two or three other guys that's okay. So what did you do in the offseason? What did you add? What significant value did you really, really add in the offseason? And who's gotten better under your watch? DeJuan Smoot's always been solid, so I'll add him in. And I like Doug Costin too. But what else have you really, really done that's really shown up to allow you to be explosive, to be able to cover people, and to be able to make people turn the ball over? None. So do I expect that you'll be able to do better this offseason with a little bit less salary cap space, even though you have more and probably not as many draft picks, at least not as many early draft picks? And do you really want to put it in their hands for them to be able to do that? What do they do well defensively? They stop the run pretty good. They do a pretty good job of that, and they play hard. Yeah, they stop the run and they play hard. They're just not talented enough, and they're not good enough. And you guys have a real, real live way of being able to measure it because you remember in 2017 how good, what a really good championship defense is supposed to look like. Yeah, you know it. You know it. Offensively, what do they do well? They run the ball with James Robinson, and they block. Who do they have offensively that's good? Trevor Lawrence, of course. I like Jamal Agnew too, man. I think he's a good utility player and a special teams player, and that's a real nice pickup. Juwan Taylor is growing on me. I'm starting to be in Juwan Taylor hype. I think he's played extremely well this year. Cam Robinson is okay. I don't think he's a solution at left tackle, but, hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do until you can get better. James Robinson, of course, is the cold-hearted truth. I call him a little Frank Gore, man, because he just finds a way to do things that it just doesn't seem like he's supposed to be able to do, and he keeps his head down, and he plays the right way. LaVisca showed me something again yesterday that he is hell-bent on trying to figure out a way to make a play. I like him as a part of a receiving core that could put pressure on you. And I'm going to say Travis Etienne because I still believe in him, and I saw him in practice. He just got hurt, and it's not fair to not include him just because he was hurt. So those are the good things about this team. If you're really looking at them and you walk me in the door and say, what do you do? What can you do? I'm going to talk about things that they don't do well and areas where they need to improve and why I do believe that if you commit too much to one area, you'll be in trouble because you won't add to it in the offseason. So what they do well, I got about 7 or 8 players I just mentioned that I think are really, really good, and that's not good out of 53. especially when you look at other teams around the league, like the Bills and the Chargers. Those teams aren't going anywhere. Baltimore, those teams aren't going anywhere, man. And we have to figure out how we're going to be able to get past them. So I'll look at the things that we actually do well and some of the areas where I think they can improve. And I'll do that in just a second here on a Monday on Locked On Jaguars. Built Bar is the cold-hearted truth, man, and it's the best tasting protein bar ever, and you know it because I told you. And you should know it because you've already had your sample of Built Bars. They have 9 delicious flavors, plus an occasional limited-time flavor. And the cookie dough crunch was the cookie dough chunk was the last one that they did that. They did that a couple of weeks, and I tore them up when they sent them to me. But I really, really love that salted caramel one because that salted caramel is my favorite one. And there's something for everyone, you know, and they're covered with 100% chocolate. And if you're working out, check this out. They're healthy because the macros are outstanding. 17 to 18 grams of protein, and I know that's what all of y'all need when you're working out. Only 130 to 180 calories, just 4 or 5 grams of sugar or 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. So it's good for you when you're working out and give you that punch that you need when recovering in the gym. So go to Built Bar and order your Built Bars right now and use the promo code LOCK15. So go to BuiltBar.com. The promo code is LOCK15. And if you do that, you're going to get 15% off of your next order of Built Bar. The promo code again is LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Try the salted caramel, man, and tell me where the lie is. They are absolutely delicious. Built Bar, BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCK15. All right, man, we're going to close it out today in this segment. We're going to let you know, man, that we really, really, really have to start taking a hard look. We've had a chance. The Jaguar fans are back in misery. And they've had an opportunity now to see. And it's not even the product. It's not the effort. And it's the incompetence that appears to be coming. Sometimes incompetence can be masked or can be confused with inexperience and guys just trying to do things and make plays. We're not even blaming the players here. The folks are blaming the coaches. People really believe that this could be a 2-3 or a 3-2 team had the coaches done better by their players. And that is something that should never happen. So for anybody who thinks that they probably could have won 3 games, well, they had to do it with something. So let's see. What did they do it good with? What have they done good with? Trevor Lawrence can play. Trevor Lawrence can make things happen and make throws that can get you out of trouble. He can also get you in a little bit of trouble, you know, being a hero. But he makes throws and plays that you actually have a legitimate shot. He makes throwing a fade pass not even make you mad anymore. He used to get mad at fade passes under Minshew and mad at the Jaguars for even calling a fade. They would line up to throw a fade when Bortles was the quarterback and the crowd would be going, no, don't do it. That's just how bad it was. You just couldn't do it. But somebody's popcorn was getting knocked out of their hand every single time they lined up for a fade on the goal line. That's not the case with Trevor. So you have a guy that has that live arm. You have a guy that won't quit. You have a guy that gives you an opportunity. And then you have a guy that the players themselves believe in and think that he's pretty good. So that's the most important thing, right? Jamal Agnew is a very good little Swiss Army knife, and he's also obviously very good at the return game. He's sure-handed. You can count on him. When you put the ball in his hand, something positive is probably going to happen. So Jamal is a pretty good player. Like I said, I already talked to you about Juwan Taylor and some other players. So they have guys in James Robinson, Agnew, to a certain extent, Marvin Jones Jr., and his name hasn't been called much the last couple of weeks. Laviska Shenault, they have pieces that you can look at and say, okay, so if we add these other pieces to that, these guys can really supplement that extra piece. Because before, they just had a lot of guys. It seemed like in the past on offense, the Jaguars had a lot of third and fourth guys on the team. I think they got some guys that can be really solid. You know, James Robinson can be option number one, and then these other guys I mentioned can be real solid option number two option guys. Like if you were to add a wide receiver like a Cortland Sutton to be your number one, then you can definitely make all of these guys be good complementary players. You're getting beat by guys just like that, by the way, on the other teams. I don't know if you noticed that, but guys on the other teams that make plays against Jaguars, they're not all number one guys. So they have that. They can really, really run block. They can. I worry about them a little bit in pass protection, but you can get away with what they do because Trevor also, you know, he has real good pocket presence, and he's always a threat to take off and run. So those guys, the offensive linemen, I mean, the defensive linemen for the other team really have to stay in their gaps, and they can't get lose contain. And that allows for him to buy a little bit more time when they're like that, you know. So, yeah, I do believe that there's some things that they have that you can work with. But now here's the butt part of it, the BUT. And I know this is what everybody was waiting for. They didn't do enough with what they had in the offseason because they didn't improve the talent level enough. You don't even know about half the young players that they took, the Jordan Smiths and the Walker Littles and the Andre Siscos. Of course, ETN got hurt, but you don't even know about the rest of those guys. Tyson Campbell, he's physical, but it takes more than being physical. You have to finish, and he doesn't finish. And what's alarming is every single complaint that you have about Tyson Campbell is the complaint that they had about him in the draft process and the complaint they had him about him at Florida. He's a five-star recruit out of Miami. Everybody knew he could run and be physical. The thing is he's not doing the other stuff, and he never did it at Georgia, so what makes you think he's going to be able to do it now? And I think that's why people are being hard on Tyson Campbell. So when you really look at it, is the juice, or is the juice worth the squeeze, or is the squeeze worth the juice, or whatever, however you want to call it? What has he really done? Has he built this program up anymore? Has he changed anything? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And all we talk about around here is incompetence and things that they do and they say that contradict what they do and contradict what they say is going to happen. And this is why taking time off doesn't rub people the right way. This is why flying home on a plane and feel like you needed to get away from it makes people question whether you're really into it or not, and whether or not this team could ever get better with him as head coach. There are a lot of people that believe, the majority of the folks I talk to don't think so. We're going to have that discussion at some point too. Like, okay, if that's the case, what are we going to do? I got a feeling, but you know, like I said, that's a day for another show. What you need, a day for another show. It's a show for another day. All you need to do right now is know that y'all are on notice. That at some point the hammer's going to drop, and it could very well get ugly if they don't get it together. And I'm not talking about wins and losses. I'm talking about the package that this thing is being presented and the reasons and the excuses that are being given after losses. Every time he gives a press conference after losses about what happened, there's two things that come out. One of them is, I'm incompetent. That's one thing that resonates, and it's not a quote, but it's just like, no matter what he says, in some way, I equate it back to, I'm incompetent. The other thing is this, and this is extremely important. This is extremely important. The other thing that seems to come out of these press conferences is, he loves everybody. Brandon Linder's like a son to him. These guys are all working hard. They're giving it everything they got. If we're going to come out of it, it's going to be because of them. This guy prepares harder than Lambeau is. He prepares harder than any specialist I've ever had. I love that guy. He's a warrior. It's starting to sound like he's saying, it ain't them, it's me. Don't be mad at them. They're giving it everything they got. Blame me, because I just ain't into it. And I don't know how to get him out of it. That's what it sounds like. He loves everybody. Everybody's the hardest and the best, and they're his sons, and he loves them all to death. Loves Dewey, loves Lynn, loves them all. You know what, Jimmy that I mentioned, Jimmy Johnson, guess what he used to do? He used to cut guys for falling asleep in meetings. He trimmed the fat. He loved him too, but it was tough love. I love you enough to tell you, you sorry as hell and you can't be on my football team, but tell your kids I said hi and come back around anytime you want to, but you can't play for me. That's it. It's a business, man. It's what it is. Tell you what, who gives you the business too? That's Peacock and Williamson, man, on the Peacock and Williamson podcast. Brian Peacock is an NFL analyst, and my man Matt Williamson is a former NFL scout, and they give you expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available on all platforms. Make sure you subscribe to the Peacock and Williamson podcast. I'm Tony Wiggins, man, with Locked On Jaguars. We appreciate you for making us your first listen every single day. Peacock and Williamson is your second listen, I hope, every single day. And I'll be here every day this week, Monday through Friday, like I always am, giving you the hee-haw. And if any breaking news comes out about the Jags, which always might happen, I'll give you that too. But until then, you guys do what I always say. Please take care of each other. And until next time, I'll see you later.